are listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. You will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival sermons from great preachers of the past. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to Psalms, please, the book of Psalms. And you'll need your Bibles. I guess it's okay in a church to use our Bible. And we'll use our Bible tonight. Thank God for it's been such a good day. I love Wednesday. I love it. I just love it. I love the elementary kids. I look forward to it. And I look forward to high school kids. No high school like that are high school. And I look forward to the college students and all that God is doing. Then Wednesday night to be with you is just such a joy. We'll begin tonight in Psalm 25. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, I love these people. They know it. I'm just so indebted to them. They've been the most wonderful church in America to pastor. They've been so kind and loving to my wife and I for 50 years. I thank you for their faithfulness to love you. I guess that's why they love us. And I pray that God, you'd bless our time together and those that listen tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. We're in a series, Words to Live By, words like kindness. I want this to be a kind church, and we are. We looked at the word forgiveness. I want us to be a forgiving people. We looked at the word correction. Can you receive correction? We looked at the word contentment. We looked at the word love. We looked at the word faith. We looked at the word second coming, actually two words. And then last week, God just got in the service in a powerful way, the word trust. Where's your trust? Where's your confidence tonight? My confidence is in the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, tonight is a similar word like last week, trust. I have a hard time with this word. My personality has a hard time with this word. I go to the ATM, for example. I get so frustrated with that ATM. I put my card in, and that little circle keeps going round and round. I always have to wait. I'm not gonna tell you, it's incredible. I have to wait and waste 10 seconds of my time. I'm just so frustrating. I'm thinking, come on. It's just going round and round. And I'm there 8 to 10 seconds every time. You know, I am the champion of hitting yellow red lights. And so I go down the road and I hit a red, I have to stop. Well, if I'm the first car, and generally I am because I'm always the last to go through, and I'm waiting, and I watch the other one that's turning yellow. And when it turns yellow, I've got my foot on my gas. And I got my foot on the brake. I am so agitated. I hate this word I'm gonna study tonight. It's not me. I hate this word. I don't like this word. But I need this word, and you need this word. I want you to read with me Psalm 25. I wonder if you could figure out the word tonight. 25, look at verse number 3. Verse number 3, let's read it together. Ready, begin. Yea. Well, there's a lot of words in there, but the word I want you to see is a little word. How about verse number 5? Maybe it'll give us, it'll be the same word again. Let's see if we can find it again. Ready? Begin. Lead me in thy truth.
And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day.
Well, there's the second time you find that word. Let's look at verse number 21. Ready? Begin. What's the word tonight? You got it. I'm not a waiter. Maybe you are. How many are like me? I mean, I want it done right now.
Amen.
Thank you. The rest of you are dead. I like things done quickly. I like to get after things. It used to be you'd put a permit into the city in a week or a month or two much at the max, you could get it. Now it could take years. We're trying to put a security fence out front, and we've worked on it. We stopped working on it. We're working on it again. Years, I think. It's just frustrating how long all the red tape takes, and you have to wait and you wait and you wait. I don't like to wait on anything. I like things done quickly.
Amen.
God has had to teach me that there is pleasure in waiting. The word wait just simply means to linger. The word wait means what?
Linger.
To linger. It means to look forward. It means to what? And first of all, it means to linger. We used to sing a song in high school. Linger a little longer when you kneel to pray. Don't be in such a hurry to go your way. Listen, listen. He has something to say. Linger a little longer to pray. God wants you to learn to wait. I am an agitated person, but can I tell you something? I believe my wife can tell you this. I have learned the joy there is in waiting.
Amen.
Maybe not a stoplight. Maybe not at that little circle going around that ATM. But most of the time, I can learn to wait. God deals with me when I learn the joy of waiting. Some of you will call me and say, now, Pastor, I need to make a decision on this. And I say, I'll pray with you about it. How long do we have? And they'll say, and often they'll say, I have to tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. I said, that's not enough time. I'll pray with you, but I don't know. It's going to take me some time. I know our men do this. I talked to one of our pastors this week, and he said to a couple that having marital problems, and we all say this. He said it, I say it, and they'll call and they'll say, we're having marital problems. And I'll say, if you'll fast with me 1 week, or if you'll fast with me 30 days, not all 30 days, but one meal a day, one meal a week, two meals for a week, for a month, then let's meet next month. We got to get an answer now. You're not going to get an answer. You're going to need to learn the joy of waiting. That's why Bible college is 4 years, young people. I had six girls give their testimony that were all student teachers in elementary chapel. They stood and they introduced themselves today. It was so encouraging. They all were so poised. They all were so ladylike. They all were so Christian. They all had good diction and good vocabulary. And it was just wonderful. But I thought, you know, I told them afterwards, one of them, I said, we graduate you seniors, and our college is the weakest it's ever been. Every graduation, because we replace a senior with an 18-year-old. And we've got to grow them up. You freshmen that came in here, you've only been here a year, but I tell you what, I've seen, and I know there's not many of you in here tonight, I've seen such growth in our freshmen. They've turned from little high school kids into men and into ladies. It's a wonderful thing to see. But they've had to learn to wait on God. You go to 4 years of Bible college, you're going to lose a job. You're going to be sick. You're going to have sorrow. God forbid you may lose your mother, your father. You're going to have to learn to wait on God.
Amen.
My Bible says, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. As you turn to Psalm 27, learn to wait when you, number one, struggle. When you struggle, look at 27, verse number 14. Let's read it together. We'll find that word wait twice. Ready? Begin. Wait on the Lord.
Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
What does wait mean? What does wait mean, class? What does it mean? To linger. God says, I want you to linger. God gave me this verse. I want to say it was 57 years ago this September. It could have been 56. I was either a freshman or a sophomore in college. And I can remember that I was reading my Bible one day, And I was agitated about something. I had to get some answers, and I don't know what it was. Maybe I needed a job. I don't know what it was. Maybe I needed money. Never got any money from my dad or anything for college, but I just remember, and I was sort of agitated, and I read, wait, 27:14, wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait. God said, Jack, I want you to wait. I claimed that verse in Bible college. 56, 57 years ago, I claimed that verse, God, I'm going to learn to wait upon the Lord. I was struggling with something. I wonder what you're struggling with tonight. I held this pastor the day he was born. He pastors now in our state. He's a great, just preached for him. Great, great pastor. And his precious wife, they put a port in her this past week because they're starting chemo today. Just a young lady, has a little 6 or 7 year old boy. And she's gonna go 12 weeks and then 2 more weeks every day with chemo. They'll probably kill her. I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen. That girl's struggling tonight. Brother Everett said, your sister's with her cancer. She's struggling tonight. She's here, she's happy. She came to Pastor Scott, so sweet. But she's got it bad. She's struggling tonight. I've got folks in this room, I'm looking at you right now. I see you. You've lost your job, and you need a job, and you're praying for a job, and you're asking God, and God's got you in a struggle of your life. Some of you having heartbreak with your kids. I deal with it every day. I dealt with it today. Heartbreaks with your kids. Just break your heart, shatter your dreams. They came to the Christian school, all that, and your heart is, you're struggling with all this. You know, life is hard, isn't it? Life is not for sissies. What's your struggle tonight? Some of it's with your husband. Some of it, it's with your wife. Some of it's with your children. Some of it's with your parents, and it may be your parents love the Lord, but they might be struggling with their health. I don't know what you're struggling with, but everybody has struggles. Listen, when you have struggles, wait on God.
Amen.
Don't try to work it out. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to say, okay, let's get this thing over and done with. Just wait on the Lord.
Amen.
I believe I know the answer on this already, but if they diagnosed me with cancer tomorrow, I believe I know what I would do with chemo and radiation. For me, I know what I'm not saying it's the right thing for you. I just think I know what I would do for me. But you know, if I was diagnosed, I'd still pray about it. Lord, I've already come to this decision because I preached years ago, you decide before you have to decide. And I believe that's important. That's what Daniel did. He decided. He made a decision before he had to decide. And I decided, I've already decided how I'd want to be treated with cancer. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you're going to have to figure that out. But I'd still take time in prayer. I'd probably say, Doc, I can't give you an answer because I need to fast and pray this week over this. I need to seek the throne of grace. I need to know that God is in my plan of how I'm going to deal with cancer.
Amen.
I want God's will in my life. More than anything, I want to live these days in my life. I want to live in the will of God.
Yes.
And so when I struggle with my life, when I struggle with life in general, I've got to wait on the Lord. I've got to be patient. I've got to linger. I've got to slow down. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. So when you struggle, wait. When you struggle, always wait. I'd like you to read with me Isaiah 40, verse 29, verse 30, and verse 31. You turn to God and wait when you struggle. And you turn to God and wait when you need strength. When you struggle, you need to turn to God. And when you need strength, hey, I linger a little longer when I, number one, what? When I do what?
Struggle.
I have to wait on Him when I'm struggling. Secondly, when I need strength. Look what the Bible says, 29, 30, 31. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin.
He giveth power to the faint.
Young men are strong, and yet God's word says, young man, you need strength. Don't try to get ahead of God. God, you say, I'm so weak. I think of some of you I talked to tonight, already tonight, and what you're going through, it's ridiculous. It's sin. It's wrong. What some people do to you, relatives do to you, it's wrong. But you're facing that. And what you're going to have to do is to wait upon God. I tell you what, child of God, I've learned there's joy in waiting. God did this to me through this church. You know the story. 20 years ago, August, we moved in this building. And then about a year later, I started to struggle. I thought God was done with me. I looked at 3,000 seats and I got afraid. And I thought, Lord, you need somebody that can move this church forward. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for a year. I preached with the touch of God. I don't believe I was wrong with God. I believe I was right with God, but I had no strength. I was weak. But you know, I came to the point, I said, Lord, I have these people, $16.5 million in debt. $16.5 million. I can't leave them. They may leave me, but I can't leave them. This is my debt. I created this debt. And you know, for the next, about 12 years, Brother Sly, 12, 13 years, we began to work on our debt. We had stopped building buildings. Prior to that, we built over there at Clyde Avenue a 16 by 20. Then we built a 4,000 square foot building. Then we built a 32,000 square foot building. Then we built a 19,000 square foot building. Then we added 10,000 more feet. We have 66,000 square feet over there. And then we remodeled this 40,000 square foot building over here and built this huge building and built a 20,000 square foot dormitory and another 20,000 square foot dormitory and a whatever it is, 25,000 gymnasium and dining hall. And we just built and built and built, and we built a clock tower and we built it all. I tell you, I'm a builder. I love building. And for 12 years, we didn't build a thing. Because for 12 years, we paid debt. God said, Jack, I want you to wait. This is the first, that $3 million front, and Brother Evan, you saw it today, it's breathtaking, $3 million. And I told you in 6 months, I said, we're going to build that over these next 6 months. We have half of 1.5, we're going to raise another 1.5 million. I don't know where it's going to come from. We didn't really talk about it much, but Brother Sly, it came in.
Amen.
And we built it, we dedicated it debt-free. I could hardly wait to put my hands on that corner building.
Amen.
I can hardly wait. I could see the pillars out front. I could see we're going to cut the driveway. I could just see. I got it all planned.
Right.
But I'm going to wait on God's perfect time.
Amen.
God has a perfect time.
Amen.
Honey, God has a perfect time for you to get off that cane. God has a perfect time.
Yes.
And I have to wait upon Him. I have to trust Him. Because there are sometimes I get so, Brother Flood, I get so weak at times. We all do.
Right.
Young men lose their strength, the Bible says. And but young man, if you wait upon the Lord, I'll renew your strength.
Amen.
And I could tell you, friend, I could tell you that I've renewed my strength waiting on God and enjoying the journey as I wait. I want to wait on God when I struggle.
Amen.
I want to wait on God when I'm weak and I need strength.
Amen.
I want to wait on God Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. This is a good one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians, buy all the T books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like you to read with me one verse. I wait on God when I struggle. I wait on God when I need strength. I wait on God because of the second coming. He's coming again. Look at verse 10. Let's read it together. Chapter 1, verse 10. Ready? Begin.
And to wait for His Son from heaven, who He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which was delivered up to you from the wrath
to come. I'm to wait for His Son. I'm to get up tomorrow morning if the Lord tarries tonight. And tomorrow morning I'll say, are you coming today, Lord?
Amen.
Is this the day when I get to see you? We would sing in high school, and we used to sing it around here a lot. Just a little longer, and the trump of God shall sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound.
Yes.
Look away to heaven, your redemption draweth nigh. Just a little longer, we're going to meet Him in the sky. I look what's happening in the Middle East. I looked at those bombs penetrated the missile defense system from Jerusalem, and they landed on the holy site. Hey, that holy site's going to be destroyed, Brother Sloan, and they're going to build a new temple there. It's got to get destroyed. They're going to build that new temple. I believe He's coming. I see the Middle East. I see nations of the world, France, London, all turning against America. We don't want to help you. We don't get any oil out of the straits there. We don't get any oil out of that. It's all there. He said, Trump, I like what Trump said. You defend it then. Yeah, there's anarchy everywhere. And the second coming means He's coming again.
Amen.
In Oxford, I've never been. Has anybody here ever been to Oxford University? Has anybody ever been to Oxford? Oxford is an old, old school. And in Oxford, they have a monument, the Martyrs Monument, built in 1555, right when Lutheranism, after that, came out. And Luther was a godly man of God. He was a Catholic priest, and he got saved reading the book of Romans about justification, and he got gloriously saved. And he saw this nun, and she read the book of Romans, and on justification, she got saved. They got married. He started the Lutheran church. He nailed to the door at Wittenberg his 87-point thesis on justification. But prior to that, there were three preachers. These three preachers, Latimer was one, Ridley, of course, was the other one, Cramer was the third. They were all declared heretics because they believe in justification by faith. The order was that they're to die being tied to a post and lit on fire. They put Latimer out, they put Ridley out, and they put Cramer. They tied him to the pole and lit the flame. The flame only cost, in shillings, it wasn't that much money. There was what they used the word was faggot, which was like, it wasn't a swear word or blasphemous word. It was what started the flame. They used faggots and they used wood. It cost less than $5 to burn those three men alive. While they're dying, being burned to death, Cramer started weeping. Oh, the pain. And they're suffering. And Latimer looked to him and said, don't cry, Cramer, because today we start a flame that's going to spread all over Europe because of our death. And he was right.
Amen.
The Reformation took place. people were saved by the thousands because of those three martyrs. And they have the martyrs' monument to these three men at Oxford University this day. I want to let you know, child of God, that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
I see a third thing, and I want you to go in closing to Psalm 37. I find that to wait means to just linger, slow down, take it easy, learn to trust God. And I find in Psalm 37, one, you wait when you struggle. And two, you wait when you have no strength. And three, we wait for the second coming. And four, when God orders a stop. You know, sometimes God, Brother Lupke, sometimes God just stops us. Don't know how to go to the right, the left. God turned the children of Israel, Exodus 14, and he turned them, and they were at Pihahiroth, and they were stuck. They were entangled in the land. That was God's plan, because he's going to open up that Red Sea for them to walk through. But they didn't know that. They couldn't go over the water. They couldn't turn back. Pharaoh was pursuing. They could not go to the right or left. There's 2 million Jews. They were stuck. And then God in his time, he stopped them. And God provided a way. In my Bible, I want you to read this verse, chapter 37, verse 23. Verse 23, would you read it? Begin.
The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
Well, you see,
Pastor,
you're forcing the steps. Well, Mueller, who was George Mueller, a great, great missionary, they found his Bible, and he wrote in that verse, the steps of a good man. He says, and he wrote in there, the stops of a good man are also order of the Lord. God sometimes wants you to stop so you'll just wait and rest. Nobody in this room is in this case, but perhaps you're engaged and you fell out of engagement. And no one's like that in this room, so I can give this. That's okay. You could just wait. You could be stopped. Some of you are waiting for God to open up a church to pastor. You could just wait. He's going to open it up. But I find in my life that I have learned to enjoy the stops. I really have. I could tell you I have. Because God always speaks to my heart. And I want to be so in tune with God that I can hear his voice. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear him. I cannot lead this church without being stopped from time to time. I'm supposed to lead this church, but God's going to have to, in my struggle and in my weakness, so I need strength. And in the second coming, as I wait for his coming, he said, Lord, we're running out of time. And when God stops me, I've got to just stop and be still and know that he's God.
Amen.
And can I tell you, I'm not saying I've arrived, but I'm pretty close to arriving on that. I don't want to rush God. I don't want to push God. I don't want to get God on my page. I want to get on God's page.
Amen.
God's page is always the right page.
Right.
So tonight the word is to wait, to linger, to slow down, to take it easy, to listen. Listen to the voice of God as he speaks to you. You're going to be surprised as you wait patiently upon the Lord, as God is going to speak to your heart. You're going to be shocked how that you can. I know what he's talking to me about. It may take a week. It may take a month. It may take a year. But it may take several years. It's taken me a lifetime because I'm a pusher. The name Treber means driver. I'm a driver. Let's build a building. Let's tear a building down. But let's do something. I drive. I just drive. But I have learned it's so good to wait. And when I can learn to wait upon the Lord, I'm going to get renewed. Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us to learn the joy of waiting. God, we're so temperamental. We're so agitated. We're so quick. We need answers today, right now. I need an answer. But God, in reality, I need to slow down. I need to hear your voice. I need you to speak to my heart. I pray for my dear people tonight. How many are here tonight? And perhaps there's a struggle in your life, or perhaps you're weak and you need strength, or perhaps you're waiting for the second coming, or perhaps the stops, you don't like the stop. But Pastor, you're talking to me tonight. There's one of these points in my life. Would you raise your hand all over the house? Raise your hands, please. Hundreds of hands, hundreds. Thank you, put them down. That's how I am. I want to wait. Please trust me. Please trust me. It's wonderful to wait. It's wonderful to wait on the Lord. God has a time for everything.
Thank you for listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. To listen to many more powerful sermons, visit our website, PreachTheBible.org. If you enjoy Christian music and programming, visit knvbc.com for Christian music you can trust.